We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, is he just one of these Ben Stein guys? Is he just a Ben Stein type as an athlete? Is it just monotone?
I'm very happy.
But after they win the Super Bowl, we made huge plays. Guys really stepped up.
He's the player, Belichick? Well, you know, we show we can make things happen in the waiting moments. So just keep growing as a team. I do think he has like a very soft-spoken persona. I don't think he is a guy that has
wasn't
a
soft-spoken
presence.
When he allegedly went after Trubisky.
Yeah, but that's in private. I think the public-facing persona there is kind of soft-spoken, a little mumbly on purpose. I don't know. I can't decide if he sounds genuinely glum or not.
Dropped
a touchdown.
Hasn't caught a touchdown pass since the playoff game against Kansas City that they got blown out in. Yep,
he did have the most targets, but he did have the most targets. He got 8 targets.
But what
man.
Did he do with those targets?
But that's not. But hold the phone here. If his problem was you're not looking to me enough, you got looked at twice more than George Pickens, which should not happen.
Maybe he's mad at himself.
Well, wouldn't you be okay with that then if he was down on himself and frustrated because he knew he had the chances and didn't convert?
Yeah,
totally different.
I'd be okay with that, but we're still talking about a guy who you're heavily invested in. And it just sounds to me like he can't even enjoy a team win because he's mad at himself because he's struggling, or, you know, last week it was, I'm open and they're not seeing me. Mm-hmm. That was last week's spiel. That's why it seemed like the Steelers made a concerted effort very early in this game to get him involved. But then it comes out, he said, he's using the Tomlin term, waiting moments. It comes out when the game is on the line. Yeah, Kenny threw the ball because they had him singled up. Like, by the way, why are you throwing kind of like a fade ball to him?
I thought it was odd because it was a far side of the field fade ball with Pickens at the top of the screen. That made no sense. Like, wouldn't you run a little quick slant with him?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well,
him look like he's going to do an in-breaking route and then do the thing where he
over
stops,
his shoulder, yeah.
Where he like pauses and then goes back out.
Having said that, the ball was where it needed to be, and he had both hands on it.
Yeah, I just, but what I was saying is, when the game really gets to crunch time, Pickett leans on Pickens and Freiermuth, and then way down third on the list is Johnson.
Well, you know what? I'm all right with that, especially the Pickens part of it.
Yeah, but this guy's making $18 million a year, Chris, and you chose to resign him.
Yeah, but they're not really committed to him for the long term. It's the next 2 years, and, well, 2 years after this year, because
yeah,
as the Steelers would
exactly
like to put it, it's actually a 3-year contract because they want to make sure you know they didn't really give him a 2-year, $18 million a year extension. It was 3 years, $39 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not a super, super long-term commitment, but, I mean, he does look like a guy who's pressing. We made jokes about how it's not even a hot take to say he's going to run backwards after a catch and sacrifice yards, but that's still the mark of a guy, I think, who knows he's good in the open field but is pressing in the moment.
I think he's the guy right now, even more than Dan Moore. Among guys who are on the field, I think he's the most infuriating Steelers player right now. Among guys that are getting meaningful snaps, they gave this guy a big payday. Well, and this is the production he's giving them?
Isn't he supposed to be the pass-catching target who was supposed to help Kenny Pickett transition to the pro game? He gets open. He's reliable. He's going to always present an inviting target.
Reliable in air quotes.
Well, reliable in the sense that he's a veteran. He should be where he's supposed to be. And if Kenny Pickett's got like happy feet or something, just turn and find 18. Chances are he'll be open. Usually right near the line of scrimmage. So if you don't want to throw it downfield, there he is.
Yeah, but as a wide receiver, you're not the stats. We don't list guys on, oh, he led the league in getting open.
I'm
no,
aware.
We do things like yards and catches and touchdowns, and he...
Which, by the way,
completing the play is a problem for him.
Nah, I was going to say something that would have started a fight, but I'll wait a couple
minutes.
And
then once he catches it, he goes...
Zigzag in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to do this little game. When Kenny Pickett puts a ball in the air, I am most excited if I know it's in 14's direction.
Correct.
In terms of like thinking good things are going to happen, second most excited if it's headed to 88. Honestly, you know who's third on the list? Jaylen Warren when he's healthy.
I thought you were going to say Gunner, oh.
Let's not get ahead
when you
of
see
ourselves.
Gunner get that jet sweep action.
I'll tell you who I actually feel the worst about is Zach Gentry, because when poor Zach catches the ball, it's going to be on a tight end screen where his poor ass just gets blown up right away.
Here's Oshesky, and Gunner spins for nine.
I like this guy, Oshesky. He doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities, but you know he's like the Tasmanian devil when he does.
He's like the Tasmanian devil when he does.
I thought the whole thing about the Tasmanian devil was he was like impossible to stop once he got into that tornado
mode. I always had Polamalu pegged as a Tasmanian devil type with the
hair. That's what Gus Johnson used to call him.
Who's the dude now I can't think of who has the long hair?
The Niners safety.
Yeah, who I can't think of what his name is.
I can't pronounce his name. I don't want to have a cook moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Game. Fourth quarter comeback, made clutch throws on that final drive. Pickens, third down. Freiermuth, third down. Throw to Johnson that got dropped in the end zone. Pickett should get credit for the Benny Snell touchdown because he said he picked the play. So if you add his three touchdown passes to his three touchdown runs, and then now you add the Snell touchdown, we're getting close to the 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Now 7 Pickett touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Not bad for a rookie.
But when you consider that you can only give him 2/3 credit for the Snell touchdown because he didn't actually run the ball in, and then you can only give him 60% of the blame.
We're counting it.
The numbers don't lie for Kenny Pickett, and they spell disaster for him at sacrifice.
We're giving him a Troy Aikman.
Does a good job.
We're giving him a good job for that one.
Give me another good job.
Does a good job.
Troy Aikman, by my count, said good job 19 times last night.
Problem, guys, a tough admission for me to make here.
Does a good job.
You know I love busting balls on this show. The good job is
not
just
good
such
timing
a,
for it with the Pulisic news.
The good job is such a common statement in any line of work. It does not stick out like a sore thumb like Gruden's stupid, this guy. Like, I just don't get bothered by it. I know
I disagree.
Everyone points it out.
Now that Donnie tipped me off that that's all he says, now I hear it.
I didn't sit there and think one time last night, he said it again. I didn't. I don't ever think about it when he's broadcasting.
I wait for it, and then I hear it, and I go, oh, my God, he said it again.
I had it pointed out to me by the guy I do St. Vincent football with. He said, hey, whenever you're watching Monday Night Football, or I guess at that time it would have been Fox with Aikman and Buck, because it was a few years ago, he said, listen to how many times Troy Aikman says the word job, and then I have never been able to unhear it. And it's not always good job. It's great job.
Does he ever say bad job?
Yeah, he does. But not as much as he does good and great. an excellent. Once in a while, he'll pull it out an excellent job.
And sometimes what I really like is whenever he's breaking down a replay and he gives you the old double dip, he'll throw in two good jobs in one breakdown.
It does not stick with me the way other crutch phrases do. It doesn't.
Let's hear from some of these big-time experts on Kenny Pickett's performance last night. We'll start with Aikman. Let's see if he says job at all here in this breakdown.
It was still kind of a mixed bag from what I had seen. There were times when you say, wow, he looks really good. There's times when you say, you know, he's a young quarterback and he's got a lot of room for growth. That's what you would expect. I think we're all quick to try to declare whether these guys are going to be great players, franchise quarterbacks or not. I know what my rookie year was like, and it's hard. He has gone kind of through those bumps and bruises along the way. The things that I saw where I thought he needed to get better at, I'll be honest, he did those things tonight. He had a tendency to hold the ball. He took sacks coming into this game that weren't on the offensive line, but I thought he was decisive, threw the ball accurately, made some really good decisions, did a lot of really good things.
And there's Aikman saying, I went into this game, and it sounded like he was saying in a kind way, I wasn't that impressed coming in. I had seen enough bad to go with the good, where even as a rookie, I was not really all that impressed with Kenny Pickett.
Well, I would
but
say
he
that,
checked all my boxes last
night.
Do you
say
agree
that,
with him?
I would say that Troy Aikman would know about bad rookie years because I think he's underselling what he went through his rookie year. He just got plastered before the Cowboys got really good.
I think they only won one game that year.
They did, and he was just getting battered because they were very, very bad all over the field.
Did Pickett do those things that he's talking about there? Like, you went in skeptical and you came out of it feeling really, really good about
it? I thought he looked more decisive about what he was trying to do, whether it was just tucking and running it or actually making the throws. Like, I'm watching, the game is on above your head right now on the monitor, which is a good thing that you only just figured that out because you'd just be watching it back because it's the drive where Benny Snell scores the winning touchdown here.
Which Pickett does get credit for.
Oh, yes.
And he went to Tomlin and said, this is the play we're going to call. And Mike Sullivan, yep.
You know who he didn't go to?
Matt Canada.
That's right. I just watched that Freiermuth throw again. Very good throw. Just watched Deontay, about four different angles of Deontay dropping what should have been a touchdown, hit him right in the hands. He looked as comfortable and confident as I've seen him look all year. He threw two uncatchable balls, and then every other ball hit receiver's hands. You can say 2.5 if you want to say the Pickens ball in the end zone is
uncatchable, too. Remarkable feat against a really good Colts defense as a rookie to get thrown into that situation to not have, like, a lapse for even a play where you throw the ball to the other team.
Well, where his legs actually, I think, can help him is he can, I think, more than some other quarterbacks, like even a Mac Jones. If he doesn't see it and believe it right then and there, he can tuck it and move with it for a little bit.
I thought there was a chance he would have gotten a little bit of deer in headlights or some nerves, some butterflies with the way the game started. They have three drives into Colts territory. They only come away with 6 points at the beginning of the game. Drives were upended really because of some protection breakdowns. Dan Moore commits a holding penalty. They get way off schedule. They have to settle for a field goal. Dan Moore gets mauled by Yannick Ngakoue. Sack. Couple plays later, they've got a running back and two tight ends lined up on Ngakoue, and all three refuse to block the guy. Which I've seen even former offensive linemen on Twitter said, well, Kenny needs to know that. Why in the world would a team have a play where, okay, we're just going to let the best guy come through free here? Like, they're going to set
Mitchell
up.
Mitchell Schwartz doesn't know what he's talking about?
Well, they're going to set up a screen to that extent where they don't even chip the guy or slow him down at all?
Man, look at that.
Not one
play.
Of those guys?
Man, just look at that. Just
oh, the
smell
touchdown?
Call.
Yeah, that was all Kenny.
I thought where he could have had deer in the headlights, and to his credit and to Pickens' credit, they didn't. They both had faith in each other. Was after they had already had two drop situations where Pickett throws a low ball on one of those three and outs that still should have been caught but could have been a much better throw, and then Pickens has one on the sideline that just kind of is a head-scratcher, when I think all of Pittsburgh was fearing the worst was about to happen. They're down in the game. It's 3rd and 9. They're in another tough down and distance. He stands in and throws perfectly to a spot.
Well, not just stands while in, he getting moved hit, to a better spot to throw the ball
while
to.
Getting hit, throws it And it's like you got to have faith that your guy's going to be there when he's supposed to be there, and they connect for 13, they get the 15-yard penalty, and then he proceeds to march him right down the field. Yeah, I thought that was the most significant play of his career thus far.
Here's our guy Ryan Clark on Kenny Pickett last night.
When you normally think of rookie quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks that are drafted 20th overall, you don't see those things in clutch moments. I use this word often, and I think people think it's stupid. That was quarterbacking. So many times we think about how fast can you run? Can you break tackles? Can we do RPOs? How big are your stinking mittens? And Kenny Pickett is showing you if you understand the intangibles of playing the quarterback position, you can be successful in this league.
So that was what was always said about Peyton Manning as mentor. He beat you with his brain more than he did his arm.
His arm was pretty damn good, though.
Arm was not up there with, say, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers or guys like that. Or maybe even, probably not even Ben. Peyton Manning was not a great athlete. Peyton Manning moved around like we watched Matt Ryan last night. He was a statue in the pocket who could carve you up. Yes, very good arm. Not elite arm, though. Not a Dan Marino arm. Carve you up because he could diagnose what you were doing pre-snap, what you were trying to do, and then take advantage of it. And Ryan is saying he's already seeing those things from Pickett.
I also think he's building chemistry with George Pickens, which is the one guy he needs to be building it with. The two-point conversion not long after they hook up. No, forget
good chemistry
about
there, too.
Yeah, that's nice. It pales
well,
in comparison.
Well, look at Ben and Heath. That was a rock to their relationship.
Yeah, and what was the better relationship in terms of production? Heath or AB?
Well, you know what? You say that, you know that you're going to get people that say Heath.
Because they're stupid.
What?
Let's see. What was the more productive relationship? The one that was admittedly frayed and fraught at times, but yielded literally some of the greatest wide receiver seasons we have ever seen?
I know, but it was so...
Or Heath. I love talking to Heath. It was great to get him on that one day for the Big Ben show.
I think Heath himself would also say it's AB by a mile.
Of course. He'd say that guy was a screwball, but holy crap, they were unbelievable together.
I know.
The Pickens relationship also comes to the fore, I think, on that two-point conversion. I'll say this again. Maybe it's because I'm the only person saying it. Pickett throws that ball back outside a split second before Pickens makes the break that way. Like, he knew it was where he was going to go. That is important. It matters that both guys were clearly on the same page. There's nothing doing back to the inside of the field. Throw it low and away and rely on the guy to make the right read.
All right, so
he did.
So here is the nerd take. This is Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. This is Brad Spielberger on Pickett last night.
He's actually the highest graded passer this week in the entire NFL. Great to see that. It was a 90.6 grade on zero turnover-worthy plays. He was turning the ball over or almost turned the ball over a bunch. And not that he was necessarily being too risky. It was often late in games. He was trying to come back in a game or try to keep a lead in a game. But still, this was a one-score game throughout the entire time. And I felt that he was not pressing, not trying to do too much on any given dropback. So that is the main thing we're seeing is the trend of fewer and fewer turnover-worthy plays.
The best quarterback in the NFL this week. Did you think you were watching that last night, Malzi?
No.
No.
I thought the best quarterback in the league this week was actually Trevor Lawrence.
I disagree.
Yeah, it was Kenny Pickett because PFF said so.
No, I watched. We were at the sports book. I thought Lawrence was okay. And then his fourth quarter was a 10 out of 10.
Well, what happens in the fourth quarter matters.
Yeah, and look at what Pickett did.
Scored 7 points, 8 points. How many did Lawrence have in the fourth?
Wait, how many possessions did they have in the fourth quarter?
Well, Pony, they had one. Significant one.
Okay.
Actually, they had two. Two that mattered. They only went 16 yards at the second possession.
Okay.
Lawrence was the best quarterback I saw in the league this week. Then probably Jalen Hurts. I put Kenny in the top, probably top five or six.
So when you're in the top five, you get a B grade? That's what you gave him as a grade?
Yeah. There's like two A students,
so
three or four B students,
so you've admitted
bunch of C students,
you've
and
admitted
some B
on the show that he was a top five quarterback in the NFL this week.
About fifth.
And
yeah,
he was their best player last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a B.
Yeah. They had a bunch of guys who played good games. No one that played a great game.
What grade would you give TJ Watt for last night?
D plus. I was going to say C minus.
What grade would you give Alex Highsmith?
B.
So they played the same game?
No. Like, Pickens was an 88B, and Highsmith was an 86. Well, you asked. I told you.
Oh, man.
I mean, if I'm grading on a curve, which I'm not, Benny Snell is an A player last night because he played his ass off. He did. When he had, nobody had an expectation that he would.
Now, you're saying objectively
on a curve. Okay, on a curve. I said that. Horse, is he listening to me? I said on a curve.
But why would you grade Benny Snell on a curve and not the rookie quarterback?
Probably because he's Benny Snell and he's been playing on special teams. And there was the thought that they were going to play McFarland more as the running back because Danny Smith needed him for his gum-chewing outfit. Which, by the way, if I'm grading on a curve or grading straight up, I give Danny Smith an F for fired, as in should be. God, I am so sick of watching that guy just looking vacant on the sideline after his coverage unit gives up another big return.
The three guys I would have left in Indianapolis last night were Danny Smith, Deontay Johnson, and Dan Moore.
Yeah, what's it about?
If I never have to watch those three guys be affiliated with the Steelers again, I would live a happy life.
I thought Dan Moore was run blocking pretty well, which is why you have to at least consider
okay,
if they
but
draft
when you
the
think of left tackles,
tackle.
It's
no,
don't
know.
Get my quarterback killed.
I am aware. I think that you are going to see this team draft a tackle very high, and then because I think Dan Moore can actually play guard because he did at Texas A&M, I wouldn't just throw him out with the trash. Because it's not like you're getting Steve Hutchinson or Alan Faneca level play from Kevin Dotson right
now. So who
plays
right tackle next year? Chooks again?
Yeah, crap. I'd actually rather try Dan Moore at this point.
But I think Chooks, they love Chooks so much, though, that he'll be there.
But hold on. I mean,
what do they love about him? Can you explain to me in English?
Well, they loved him enough to give him money.
$10 million. Hold on. Let's go see what PFF has thought about Chooks in certain games this year. Because I know...
They don't have a high grade on him, Chris.
Not for the year, but
they look
there
at him
been,
as a decent player.
There have been times when Chooks, an 84 grade against the Patriots.
Yep. They lost the game. He's also making a lot of money. So to have one good game doesn't pass.
Yeah, he's actually sucked since about week 6 in their minds. But his pass blocking grade was really good last night. They gave him a 77.
What did they give Big Dan Moore?
On pass blocking?
Yep.
Probably an incomplete. You want me to give you a Dan Moore? Here we go. Dan
he
Moore.
Stinks.
Dan Moore Jr.
But honestly,
pass blocking grade.
What?
Hold on.
It's a good number.
Hold on. If this is true, you can't argue it because Pickett was the highest graded quarterback.
Let me hear it.
Dan Moore's pass blocking grade, 86.8.
Yeah.
Sorry. Them's the facts.
Well, they don't have the same people doing the offensive line grades as the quarterback.
Oh,
grades.
So only certain parts of PFF are valid.
Well, they've admitted, though, it's harder to do the offensive line grades than it is the quarterback grades, but that is a... That's...
That's like watching a balloon deflate in real time, Donnie.
I do not get that one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.